You're checking out the Nifty Q Show.
All right, welcome into the Nifty Q Show, the new and improved Nifty Q Show. We just like switched our software, so we have no idea what's happening. We're pushing it to Twitter. We're pushing it to YouTube now via a new software. So folks, if something's off, please let me know. You are sitting here today on the Nifty Q Show. We're interviewing founders, leaders, and builders in the non-fungible token and Web3 space. Today, I'm sitting with Matt Waters, co-founder of Unchained Music. We'll be getting an update on where the Web3 music industry is today, how the legacy music distribution and royalty setups can be disrupted, and much more. Matt, thank you for being the guinea pig on this new software. Hopefully, I'm not even sure we're coming through, so good luck. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Can't complain. Another busy day in Web3, back-to-back meetings. Really happy to be here. I'm really happy to kind of chat about the Web3 music ecosystem.
Awesome, man. I want to make sure, I'm going to give us like a quick point on the chat here to make sure we actually are coming through. Again, let us know, guys. But Matt, while we're waiting for that, let me know about this Burning Man piece too. We were just having that discussion. You're running off to Burning Man. I'm not familiar. You know, I haven't been to Burning Man. Mm-hmm. How is it? Is it just a week long of you just like, you know, nomading it?
Pretty much. I mean, like once you're on Playa, it's limited solutions out the way as far as getting various signal and whatnot. So it's going to be very limited. The team's picking up the slack right now. They're very gracious to give me a little bit of time to go off to the desert and just have a good time, see some good music, see some fantastic art, and just continue to build from there.
I love it, man. I love it. I also want to give a quick shout out to Skylab. That is a group that we are involved in. We don't have like a gang sign yet or anything like that, so we can't say any like team sign. Jordan should get on that any moment. But yeah, Skylab's been awesome, and I'm glad that we could connect through that piece. So have you been enjoying your time at Skylab, by the way?
I have, yeah, very much. It's a really, really great community of people who are kind of builders and also, venture capitalists and angel investors and people who have the connections to like help each other out. It's real nice. And so, yeah, Jordan's been fantastic so far. I'm very happy to be a part of that community.
Amazing stuff. Okay, Hash Rhymes is saying we're loud and clear. Jacob is in the house. OVOT. We have a gang sign here on this network. So OVOT, guys, appreciate you stopping by. If you are here on YouTube, if you're listening on Twitter, now I can finally say that. But we also have it on Spotify and iTunes, any Apple, you know, or any podcast distribution spot that you would like. And coincidentally, I'm sitting with a distributor of media as well, so I can't wait to get to that. Give us a quick update, Matt, on what the Web3 music scene looks like today. Like, where are we at in that industry? We have a show on our network that covers this on Mondays, mm-hmm. Music Mondays, but I really want to get your take. Where are we in the Web3 music scene now?
Yeah, well, at the moment, you have some projects that are starting to come out of the woodwork with their solutions to various problems, right? You have your royals, you have your Nether blocks. They're starting to sell future royalties to fans, which is a really interesting kind of advanced royalty model, which is fun. You have projects like us, they're kind of coming out of beta in the next, next 6 months or so. And people are just right now, just they're building, they're finding the solutions to cut out some of those middlemen in the space. And they're really recognizing that, okay, well, now's the time to do this. Now's the time to make this system a little bit easier for your Web2 musicians to come over to Web3 and be able to utilize the solutions they've been built. So really interested to see how that continues to happen over the next few months and over this little bit downturn in the market. And we'll see what comes through. But for now, it's been really interesting to connect to teams and not have to worry about things like token price or anything.
Wow, I almost just died. Oh, what is the growth? What has the growth been like in the past like year, 2 years in the Web3 music scene?
Well, I mean, you just have an explosion right now, right? You have Royal that has thousands and thousands and thousands of artists that just have been really interested in dropping with them. And you have other places coming out. You have MotoDAO that's dealing with some solutions in the space as far as doing things like audio fingerprinting. That's really interesting. And then you have places like Emanate that's tackling the streaming along with Audius. And so you're just seeing an explosion, a growth of that. And you just have more and more musicians, hundreds of thousands of musicians that are starting to come into this and starting to understand. you know, that's going to continue to grow over the course of the next few months. But when we're going to see a real uptake is the next time the market comes back around and people get interested in cryptocurrency and NFTs again.
I appreciate the quick update there in the overview on where we're at. As far as the apps and the dApps are concerned, if somebody wants to get involved in the music scene, because again, we have all these different sectors that kind of coalesce together, but some people might feel unfamiliar with the Web3 music scene, the NFT music scene. You mentioned Emanate, you mentioned Royal. I'm not necessarily saying to rank those, right? But like, where should somebody start, right? Like, what are the differences between those apps? And like, if somebody wants to get involved in this industry, where should they start?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting interesting question. And I think whatever's the easiest from a learning curve standpoint. I mean, Audius has done a great job at making it relatively easy for people to come in and, you know, distribute their music onto Audius. We're also taking the same tack here with Unchained Music. We're still in closed beta, so you can't just sign up to our platform at the moment, but you can sign up for the beta and just kind of coming on here and be like, okay, well, I'm a part of the music ecosystem. Okay, what's this token? What's this NFT? And basically making it a system in which people can arrive there and just learn a little bit by a little bit. But I think somewhere like Audius is a great place to start.
Audius. Okay. That's awesome. I want to make sure. So am I coming through? Cause again, guys, we switched to a new software. So I know there was a little bit of a lag there. Matt, am I coming through clear?
Yeah. You're all good on my side.
Okay. All right. Let's go into your background real quick. Before you got into the blockchain space, I would love to touch on kind of your background. Was there any music related pieces there that now you find yourself in that industry, of course, but yeah, give me a quick background and then we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been a musician my entire life, right? I went to school in LA, you know, go Bruins, and spent about 10 years up that way. You know, just kind of being a freelance musician, had the opportunity to play with a bunch of really interesting people up there, all different genres, everything from classical to ska to jazz, you know, everything around the way. Was a band director for a little bit, which was a lot of fun, and then ended up moving to China to start a university music program out that way. Started two companies out that way as well that were unfortunately shut down during COVID, music marketing and events company. And then that kind of led me and my co-founders into this space going, okay, well, we can't do anything live. Live performance is gone. How do we make a living as a musician here? And from that, from the crashing of my other companies, came Unchained Music.
How do you deal with some factor like that as an entrepreneur, right? Like oftentimes we have like different features and factors that make themselves a part of why we didn't succeed. Maybe we didn't try hard enough. Maybe we didn't have the right product market fit. COVID, you know what I mean? Like how do you bounce back from that? Is it easier?
I mean, you do what you can, right? You look at the opportunities that are in front of you and you try not to let what has happened affect what's going forward. And so for us, we recognize that, okay, well, we have this company that can't do anything right now. We're not allowed to do live events in China. Everything's basically shut down. We're not, like, marketing is significantly down because no one's doing the live events. You know, people are focusing more on the online spaces. And, you know, okay, so what's available to us? Oh, okay, well, we got hired as independent musicians to do, you know, some shows for Charged Particles. Well, that's interesting. That went very well. I wonder if we can do this music NFT thing. Okay, that went really well. Now, how can we expand upon that? And so just kind of looking forward and recognizing that, yeah, you can't control that. You do your best. You control what you can control. And if something happens outside of your control, you look at it, you adapt, you overcome, and you just move forward.
Part of the discussion that we're going to have, I think, later in the episode is going to be related to like the 100% royalties that you guys offer, this idea that we're disintermediating a sector that has been one that has taken advantage of the creators in that piece, right? As a creator yourself, as a musician yourself, did you have any experience dealing with that?
I mean, music distribution in general is such a fundamental part of the music ecosystem. If you want your music on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, basically anywhere, there's 220 plus places online in the traditional industry that you can distribute to, let alone NFTs places, let alone metaverse places, let alone Web3 places, that you as a musician have to use a distributor if you want your music to be heard. And so we're taking that model and applying it to what we're doing in Web3 in addition to distributing to those places. So it's been really interesting kind of approaching it from that standpoint.
Okay, so we jumped a few, I feel like hoops or a few steps while I'm trying to figure out all this software. I can get comments on the screen. This is I'm having the best day of my life here as a content creator on YouTube. But as far as your background, as it's related to finding blockchain, finding NFTs, I know in a recent article you were talking about like charged particles. You were talking about finding CryptoKitties in 2017. Mm-hmm. Get into that kind of light bulb moment or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of us, I've been in the crypto space for a few years now, and I got in around 2016, 2017, somewhere around there. I just remember CryptoKitties just like completely shutting down ETH for a second. It was basically unusable. And that was the initial, my initial like, hey, welcome to crypto, welcome to NFTs, right? And after a while, I just kind of let that lay with the whole bear market that came after that. You know, it wasn't something that I actively pursued for a long time because I was pursuing my own musical ambitions. I was going on tour throughout China with my co-founder, Matt Bush. We were running around festivals and having a good time playing shows and running our company. But when we got to this COVID issue, we have a really great friend, close friend, that's the community manager of Charged Particles, Mango, who invited us to come perform here. And we're like, yeah, why not? Give us an excuse to get out, go film a beautiful video on one of the beaches of Hainan. And so we kind of found that space as something that was really nice. And it gave us an opportunity to kind of get out of our own little bubble. From that, we learned about what charged particles was, right? Which is, you know, DeFi NFTs, being able to put other assets inside of NFTs, being able to integrate USDC with Aave when it goes inside there. And so you can put USDC inside the NFT and it gains interest while it's there. So you actually create an objective floor value in addition to the subjective of the NFT itself. And so from that, we're thinking about, okay, well, how can this apply to what we do as musicians? People are putting music on chain. Oh, well, maybe we can do this music distribution. And then we started fleshing it out over a few conversations, and it once again led to what we're doing today.
A quick side question here. You mentioned China, and I do want to get to Charged Particles. I think they have a great team. Love like the DeFi NFT synergy there. I have been fascinated by that since its inception. You guys, bunch of white American dudes, I'm assuming. I don't know. Running around China, like how did that? What did that look like?
Well, I mean, it was a lot of fun. You know, it's a difficult language. You know, it's a tonal language. You go in and like, if you say the wrong tone, it means something completely different. And like, I've gotten in trouble kind of doing that before. And so also we were living on a place called Hainan, which, you know, Mandarin, which is the main language, Putonghua, they call it. You have Cantonese, which is the second language, and then you have Hainanese, which is the third language. And we were living in Hainan. So sometimes you would speak to a taxi driver in Putonghua, the Mandarin, and the taxi driver wouldn't understand you. And so here I am in a new country trying to learn a new language, a very difficult language, but you're talking to a taxi driver and he's like, what? I don't understand what you're saying. I was like, no, I think I'm saying that right. You know, he just doesn't understand. So it was very much an adventure, a learning experience. You know, we can see the major cities, it's a little bit easier, but where we were at, you know, a little bit of a countryside type place.
Okay. So that was the last side question. I want to get directly into this stuff. You mentioned in that same recent article that you talked about, you know, charged particles and kind of getting introduced to all of this a little bit through them. In that same article, you're talking about usability and the fact that this stuff just isn't easy for the individual at this point that is not already native. Now, it's interesting that you have charged particles in that same sentence because they're one of the most creative and complex when it comes to that with the DeFi NFT stuff. So first question is kind of elaborate, if you can, on that usability point, and then I guess I'll get to my second piece.
Yeah, okay, well, let's start in the usability. when you have a musician that knows nothing about NFTs and nothing about crypto trying to come in and use a Web3 platform, it's hard. There's a lot of learning curve that needs to happen there. Okay, they have to understand what is a wallet? What is a seed phrase? What is decentralized finance? What is this thing called USDC that's like, is this crypto? Is this volatile? I don't really know what's happening. Am I going to lose all my money? So there's that education standpoint that goes up, that's going on. What about gas? How do I move things around? How do I cash this out to fiat? There's a lot of questions there. And so we have this issue where like someone's coming on that maybe is a 55 or 60 year old musician that has never known any of this. How do they get the benefits of what we're doing here? And the way that we've been trying to answer that is by abstracting a lot of the complexity out of the app. Right. And so they can come on with what we're doing and use it just like any other Web2 distributor. I think a lot of people are starting to understand this. Audius does a good job at this for the most part. And there's some other places that are starting to also do this. But a lot of the other different dApps that are out there, you have to know so much before you can use them. So being able to take a step back and say, OK, well, yeah, this is cool. This is great. But now how do we actually get people into the space? And that is a key component that's missing in kind of Web3 music at the moment.
Yeah, I want to get to that piece on how you guys obfuscate all that stuff going on behind the scenes. The second question and kind of the add-on question there is like, what is another factor that leads to adoption in the space, right? Like, I probably agree with you that just making it easier to use all these tools is going to lead to a massive amount of people getting in. Not many people, to a point that I heard earlier this week, are going to be using private keys. You know, people don't want to be dealing with that amount of, I guess, user interface at that point. But anyways, what's a second or third piece that you think personally will lead to more adoption in this space, other than making stuff easier to use?
Well, clear benefit to the end user, right? So with I hate to keep harping on this, but for us at Unchained Music, the clear benefit is they are literally keeping 100% of their royalties. They do not have to pay any longer for music distribution. So when someone's crafting a solution here, how can you communicate that in a very easy to understand manner if you're in Web3 music for a musician, right? Mm. What is the problem that you're solving that is needed to be solved? A lot of times as crypto founders, as people in the space, we tend to get excited about the tech. And we build answers to problems that like don't quite exist yet. And so being really clear on that of like, what are we solving? How do we communicate that? That's going to be very helpful. And so comms is just such an integral part of what we're doing.
So I want to get into founding Unchained Music here, as well as like kind of a breakdown of the project. But my last question, as it's related to the industry, is how those intermediaries that you're trying to displace are taking this, right? Like the Spotify's, all of the distribution. I mean, even a podcast that we send, a podcast platform that we send our podcast to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all these things, they're all at play here. Even though that's more podcasting side, not music, I feel like it's a little bit of some crossover there. So how are the intermediaries looking at this space right now?
Right. And so I think the first place we can start is differentiating between a distributor and a DSP, right? A distributor is the company that takes, or the entity that takes the music and puts it on places it's going to be heard. It puts it on Spotify. It puts it on Audius. It puts it on Apple Music. But you're not streaming from Unchained Music. You're not streaming from a distributor. And so what we're trying to do right here is we're trying to upend the traditional model, which in the distribution space is kind of three different ways. Number one, either you're paying a yearly subscription to distribute, you know, your music. Number two, you're paying per release or per album that's going out. Or number three, you're striking a deal that has a percentage of the royalties taken from you on the back end that can be 10 to 20% or more of that. And so every single one of these business models is extractive, right? The distributor is taking something from the artist. The distributor is a party in the middle that is making money off this artist that may not actually make their money back from this, especially developing artists and artists that are emerging. And so what we're able to do here is we're able to come up with a fourth business model where we take those royalties, we put them in stablecoin liquidity, ours keeps the principal, we keep the interest, right? And so in that way, we create a no-loss system very similar to Pool Together, right? That allows us to create a win-win situation for artists and for industry.
Yeah, very, very quickly explain that pull together model, because I really like that model as well. And I think it, it is one of the first to take advantage at a little bit of a scale of the charged particles stuff.
Yeah, so basically it's a no-loss system here, right? You have a system in which people are putting money into a liquidity pool, right? In this case, it's the royalties that are coming back from Spotify, that are coming back from Apple Music. It's being put in basically single asset staking within Aave, within this charged particles NFT. And the artist, when they want to, can call that back, call that original money back. But the entire time that it's in that, it's gaining interest through the lending protocol, you know, through Aave. And so we're able to differentiate that interest from that principal. And that basically allows us to run our system to cover all of the technological overhead. In the case of Pool Together, it's a lottery system, right? Everyone's putting the money in, there's money being made, and someone's going to win that prize at the end. For us, it allows us to run the distribution system instead.
Okay, so you say us, kind of give me a layout of who you're founded Unchained Music with, and then let's get a breakdown of the app.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have four co-founders here. Myself, who's kind of heading up business operations. We have Matt Bush, who's our operations guy. Scott Ashby, who is doing a lot of our marketing, a lot of our artist outreach, that sort of thing. He's a resident music industry expert. And then we have Corey Troutman, who's doing all of our technological team overview and running that sort of stuff out that way.
Okay. Give me a quick breakdown of what you guys are doing today, as far as like a quick overview, and then we can jump into the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in a closed beta right now. Artist comes onto our platform. We admit them to the platform through our beta application process. They can go and immediately distribute music. We can do this today. We distribute something like over 200 various places across the web, including places like TikTok, Shazam, Spotify, Apple Music, so on and so forth. Basically, anywhere you can listen to music online in a legacy sense, traditional industry sense. What's happening next for us is kind of digging into making sure that our financial payouts have been audited, making sure that we're in compliance with both Circle, who's our kind of our payouts partner over here, and making sure that we know all of our counterparties to make sure we're not paying out to anyone on an AML or an OFLAC list or something like that. So that's going to be our next step. And then we're digging into analytics. We're digging into, okay, where is the music used? Where do you have listeners? How much fans do you have on each of these platforms? If you're using a TikTok video, here's the link to the TikTok video. What are the impressions you're getting from that? That sort of thing. And so that's really, really exciting. And then towards the end of this year, we'll be admitting a bunch more users and we'll be opening up in the first part of 2023.
Interesting stuff. So from an end user perspective, what does this look like? If I'm a new, I would say new music artist or new like artist in general, I'm coming onto your platform. What does that look like? And it sounds like you offer some type of like white glove service to talk about analytics and things like that too, which I've noticed across a couple other services that offer software and, you know, that kind of like consultation with the artist as well. So if we can break that down, but give me that end user experience for an artist that you're trying to maybe, you know, dabble.
Yeah, well, an artist that comes onto our platform, they're going to see something that they know. They're going to see something very familiar that's very similar to a DistroKid or a TuneCore or a Ditto type distribution platform. You're going to come on, you're going to have your music ready to go, you're going to have your cover art ready to go, you're going to have all your musical metadata, who performed on this track, who's the lyricist, who's the songwriter, who's the composer, all that information. That will be uploaded through our system. We'll push it out to everywhere. And then it's going to show up in your dashboard as, hey, this music has been distributed. When the royalties come back, you'll have a nice banking page that breaks everything down from, okay, where are you getting this royalties from? Is it Spotify? Is it TikTok? Is it an NFT platform? And then you can start making decisions about where you should be focusing your content, for example. Some people, it might be NFT stuff. Some people, it might be Spotify. Some people, it might be Facebook. With, you know, kind of some of the using of songs out that way. It might be TikTok, who knows? And then basically they can do things that are more than that in the future. We're adding on features from that point. But it's going to look very similar. It's going to allow them to come onto the platform and a user experience that they actually understand and are going to be able to use immediately.
Are you guys integrating like Coinbase at all with these wallets? Like, are they getting paid out in potentially like USDC? Like, how does that work from the actual payout perspective? Mm-hmm. Or does it?
Yeah. So basically we're able to pull out. Yeah. We're able to. I was just breaking up just a little bit. So we're able to pay out both on chain in USDC or via wire transfer, via bank transfer. It looking like we'll be initially setting up to be able to pay out in about 100 different countries worldwide and about 96 local different currencies, in addition to on-chain, in addition to bank transfer, in addition to wire transfer. So once again, this goes back to the idea of being able to meet people where they are. If they want to be paid out on-chain, yes, we absolutely can do that. But if they want to stick with the traditional model and just get the benefits of this DeFi and these NFTs without actually having to handle it themselves, they can do that as well.
How closely are you working with Charged Particles on this? Like, because obviously, I mean, you're, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, our entire protocol is basically built on top of using Charged Particles NFTs as user accounts. So one of the issues that we have in the music industry is the black box issue. A lot of these companies, they have to say, okay, I totally have your royalties, trust me. Right. But these royalties get lost all over the place, you know, especially performance royalties, which is a fun one. So what we're able to do, we're basically able to mint a Charged Particles NFT that is, for example, your, you know, artist account. And when royalties come back, we can put them inside the NFT and you can click a button on your profile that says, oh, I want to see my royalties. Click, takes you to the page seeing the NFT and you can see exactly where your royalties are, which is fun. So it gives one of those issues of like, okay, well, we can do all of our accounting on chain and you can see exactly where your money is. It's not some abstract number in a bank account somewhere.
When you say royalties, and forgive my ignorance completely, like when you say royalties, how much of an artist's revenue is coming from royalties? Is it literally that the way that the artists make money the most?
No, or
is
it like unfortunately, direct sales? It's not royalties. I mean, you probably hear this all across the music sphere. Royalties are not a large part of most artists' revenue. And that's part of the reason why what we do is so important, because a lot of artists, they're utilizing distribution, never make back the money that they have to pay to distribute their music. So we're one of those people that's just like, okay, well, you don't have to do that anymore. So we're not solving for all of the problems of the industry. We're not trying to, but what we are solving for is this one part of the industry that is super extractive and sometimes very cost prohibitive for artists across the world that are from, you know, emerging markets, developing markets, markets where artists maybe are unbanked or underbanked. And now they have access to distribution, whereas before they may or may not have been able to do that because we can pay it on chain and we can work with them where they're at.
A lot of questions I can bounce off from there, but yeah. I guess when you're talking about your artists, when you're talking about your user base now, demographics wise, are most of those in the US currently? And like, where's the second, third, fourth place for that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're focusing on the US. We are a US company, but we're also opening up to people across the world. I mean, you see your distribution from major music markets. You see your US, you see your UK, you see your Germany. But we're also seeing a lot of artists from sub-Saharan Africa. We're seeing a lot of artists from India and Southeast Asia. Seeing a lot of artists from South America, right? Mm. And so some of these markets are big emerging music markets that people are just starting to tap into. And we're very excited to continue working with local communities out that way to make sure they have access to streaming platforms. But yeah, demographics are all over the place, but primarily focused on your typical markets.
You guys mentioned that you mentioned that you guys are in beta. What is that user base or what does that client base look like now, if you can kind of relay any of that information?
Yeah, I mean, we have artists kind of all over the place. We have artists that are releasing some of their first tracks, and we have artists that have, you know, six-figure monthly active streaming listeners, right? Mm-hmm. So it's everyone from your bedroom producer that's just coming out and still learning to very well-established artists. And it's been a pleasure, honestly, working with all of them. You know, one of the things you mentioned earlier was some of the label services stuff that we're doing. And we're seeing a lot of interest in that, working with some of these artists that are a little bit more established and some of these labels that are a little bit more established to be able to bring them into ecosystem and say, okay, well, you don't have to pay for distribution anymore, but we also can help you with some of your NFT strategy and Web3 strategy and that sort of thing.
I'm going off on a personal tangent here, but podcast distribution is something I alluded to earlier, and I'm specifically obviously a podcaster. So yeah, how are there similarities between the music scene? And is that something you guys are potentially tackling, is podcast distribution? I'm sure there's a, I mean, there's similarities. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're not specifically going to be attacking podcast distribution. It is a different type of market. Okay. And it's, you know, there's different idiosyncrasies between those different places. We want to focus on music distribution and do that. You know, maybe in the future, but definitely not.
I'm just wondering if I should be receiving royalties. That's all I was concerned about. So,
well, you know, maybe you can, you know, hit up Spotify and see if you can get the Joe Rogan deal.
Yeah, there you go. 100 mil. That's
100 mil. It's the
as
minimum.
Low as I'm going. Yes, exactly. Okay, so tell me a little bit about this token here that you guys have. I believe it's Noise, correct? How does the token model work within your ecosystem there?
Well, Noise is simply a social token, right? Okay. There's no financial value attached to it. There's nothing. There's no liquidity for it. None of that fun stuff. But what it is, it's a way to keep track of contribution with our community. It's a way to keep track of people who have been around for a while. They've been helping us, for example, with translation. You know, we're running ads in South America right now, so people come in, they can speak Spanish and help us translate from English to Spanish and help moderate and do things like that. So, you know, we do have a few different ideas for that moving forward, but we really don't want to dig too far into that because we want it to be a surprise.
Yeah, agreed. I feel like people don't understand, like, social tokens existed and then NFTs kind of came in and just usurped the narrative in a way. I think most people don't understand like how much social tokens are going to be at play here in the next couple of years. Once NFTs kind of find the product market fit or like more established, we will see more teams like Bored Ape or Yuga Labs that have both NFTs and social tokens. You probably feel the same being in DeFi and NFTs.
Oh, absolutely. And you also see companies like Roll, right, doing quite well. You know, unfortunately, they had the hack a while ago, but they've started to bounce back a bit. But you're going to see artists, they're rolling their own social tokens. I mean, there's quite a few successful artists that are doing that nowadays that are helping people come into the space via way of a social token. And we also see the potential there. So we're utilizing it within our ecosystem in a non-financial way to kind of bring people in, to get them used to the idea of owning a token in a way that's not attached to, oh no, I lost it, you know. And so in a very low stakes way, and then maybe we give some benefits to that within the Discord or elsewhere. So really looking forward to continue building that side of our ecosystem out.
Yeah, shout out to Bradley from Roll. They're doing some good things. I appreciate them. We worked with them on our social token as well here on the network. But so you guys are actually integrating some form of, so your social token. It's not like you're going to these different creators and saying, hey, you can add a social token to your, you know,
correct,
whatever you're doing. Okay.
Yeah, there's no plans to roll out, no pun intended, a artist social token feature. That's not what we want to do. There are other places that are tackling that right now. And as much as we can, we want to work with those places. Maybe there's an opportunity to collaborate moving forward to potentially roll out an artist social token for some of the artists that are interested in that in their platform, but definitely not at the moment.
So are you seeing like day one revenue here from turning on a switch for royalties and being like, hey, we've got revenue flowing in. Like, is that how that works?
Well, that's actually really interesting because the traditional model that ends up happening, it takes a few months for these DSPs to actually pay us, which means we can't pay you until they pay us. So no, it's not a day one thing, but the things that we add on beyond that, that might be helpful to artists, things like enhanced analytics, things like mastering, things like marketing support, that will be where a lot of the day one revenue comes from. But the base level to get people into the ecosystem is say, hey, come and distribute your music for free. And then there's other things that they can pick and choose, like, okay, I need this, I need that. And that's where the immediate revenue comes from.
Okay. I want to touch on that. I need this, I need that, because I'm interested in like the on the ground meeting between people who don't have that much experience in Web3 to people like you and me. I do want to give a quick shout out to the chat. Jordan Lyle's in the house. Big shout out to Jordan Lyle, founder of Skylab over there. Hash Rhymes, Asmodai, Our Vibe, Our Tribe, Alien River, Milanay. Guys, we are live on YouTube and Twitter. I'm sitting here with Matt Waters. He is the co-founder of Unchained Music, so that this is a good conversation here that we're having. If you like, don't tune in live. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. You can find us in the description below. But yeah, a ton of stuff. So this on the ground Web3 music kind of interaction, what are people coming back? I guess there's two users that you guys have. At least I'm breaking them up easily for my own mind to understand. Mm-hmm. The users that understand what's going on here and the users that don't. What is the conversation that you're having with the ones that don't? And are they asking for specific things that you can, you know, talk about here?
Yeah, absolutely. So our focus is primarily on those users that don't, right? Our focus is on the users that want to come for the distribution, and then we're giving them the information they need to continue being successful in the space, right? And so we have an entire section of our company, an entire section of the website as well, called the Unchained Academy, that's focused specifically on this education, right? So moving forward, there will be things like learn to earn, working with other projects, understanding how to do this or how to do that. But for now, this use basically can go there and like, what are the terminologies that people use in this space? Okay, how do I set up a wallet? You know, super, super basic things that musicians would need to know. But the first step is come in here, distribute your music, do the thing. And then, you know, here's a nice article on decentralized finance. Here's an article how to switch networks. Here's an article on what does crypto mean for musicians? What are opportunities you might want to explore as someone coming into the space? Things like that. So it gives a supportive network in which everyone's kind of learning together. And that also allows us to onboard hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of artists, rather than having to wait for everyone to get to Web3 and then grabbing them, right? We're meeting people where they are.
It's not sexy though. It's not sexy to talk about that stuff. You know, it's like the day-to-day adoption. Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's really something that like frontline adoption of users is not making any, it's indirectly making us to a point where we hopefully can have the space grow by 10x like we think it will. But it's hard to see that on a day-to-day basis, but you guys are doing it. So appreciate the work you're doing here, sir. Okay. So I do have a question from the chat. I was saying, it feels like a lot of social tokens are missing utility. How do you find ideas for future utility? And maybe we can mold that question into like in a music sense, or in like an artist that has a social token. What are your thoughts?
Sure. There? I mean, like it depends. It's so, individual to artists. It's so individual to the token. So like as an artist, what are you doing that is, you know, people are going to associate with, your fans are going to associate with, are you touring? Okay. If you're touring, you can talk about typical things like, okay, well you can, maybe if you have this many social tokens, you get a certain perk, right? Or you can exchange the social tokens for a beer or like a piece of merch, right? Super simple. Something that is abstract to something that is hard, right? If you're in an online community, what about doing things like specialized AMAs, things like unique NFT drops for holders of this token. I mean, it really just depends on what you as a creator, you know, can give back to your community. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because they have your social token, they've earned that in some form. So what are you going to be able to give them that has value to them? And that's going to be individual. So it's only up to the individuals and individuals' teams' creativity, in my mind. It's so hard to be broad there.
Yeah, well, because it's never ending, right? Like utility is like ever expansive. There's no like black or white there. I do want to get your take on token gating, right? Because I feel like this, especially in media, it's a constant question. It's like, should I token gate and make it valuable so people maybe become, you know, or I can monetize my ecosystem? Or do I have this, all of this media be open to the masses so that I can be maybe the most found? How do you view token gated media?
I mean, once again, it depends on context. It depends on the ecosystem. So I can see it being useful for certain people. I can see it being useful for certain artists and labels, but in other places, maybe you just want to be super open. So I don't really have a huge opinion on that other than go and explore, have a good time. Let us know what happens and maybe we'll copy you, you know?
Alien River saying, is there a lockup period to allow you to earn interest on the royalties and what happens if lending protocol collapses? I'm loving this setup. You can see the question on the screen, I'm assuming.
I can, yes.
I am not a caveman, by the way. I'm in Web3. I am been in NFTs for 5 years, but it feels like I'm a caveman when it comes to this stuff. But anyways, can you get that question?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a lockup period. Right now, we're locking royalties for about a month in order for us to be able to pay for our technological overhead. And if the lending protocol collapses, because we're providing stablecoin liquidity to Aave right now, the crypto economy kind of collapses. So Aave is about as stable as you can get within DeFi. It's very battle tested. I mean, if it collapses, it collapses. You know, we're all kind of screwed here.
Is there a potential to have like an insurance payout at some point, or like some type of insurance pool?
Yeah, basically what we're doing once we're not able to self-insure is we are looking at insurance through various protocols. I'm not going to name them here because this is going to, you know, stay up. But we are looking at insurance once we can't self-insure.
All right. Anything we haven't touched on yet for Unchained Music? I know we're moving at a blistering pace, by the way. 2:45
One after another, huh?
Yeah, you're testing me as an interviewer here, but I am up to the task, hopefully. Great guest so far, Matt. But anything we didn't touch on as far as Unchained Music is concerned, and we can continue the combo.
I mean, basically where we're at right now is we're just really excited to be working with musicians that are new to the space at the moment. We talked about this a bit, a little bit earlier in this podcast, but it's really something that's needed. And we're really excited to be working with other projects that are in this space. We have a bunch of really great partners, including Charged Particles, that are very supportive of bringing people on. And what's going to happen is there's going to be an on-ramp, and we intend on being that on-ramp. So really looking forward to the growth of the ecosystem, really looking forward to the growth of the artists that are doing unique and innovative things here, really looking to the growth of social tokens. How are you providing that utility that we're talking about? So, you know, we're here for it. We're not choosing winners on our side. We are a distributor. So we're just kind of sitting here and trying to push out to everywhere that wants to be part of our ecosystem. And we'll see where it goes.
How much of this ecosystem is inbound and how much of it is outbound when it comes to finding new clients or finding new artists that want to be a part of what you're doing at Unchained Music? Is it people like finding you and setting up an account, or are you having to go outbound to say, hey, you know, maybe for like some larger creators, this is what we're doing?
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of both. I mean, we do have kind of that white glove system that is doing a bit of outreach to more established people, more established artists and labels, that sort of thing. But we're also seeing a massive amount of organic growth. Right now, we're seeing probably anywhere between 100 and 150 people sign up for a beta on the daily, right? And so we're just sitting here being like, okay, let's make sure our infrastructure is good. Let's make sure we can do everything that we say we're going to be able to do. And we're just very excited to continue having people coming in from both ends of that. You know, obviously it's great to have the big flashy name up top. It's like, hey, we're doing with this person that everyone knows, but it's just as important to be working with everyone else in the ecosystem, because I'm one of those people. I'm an independent musician. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to utilize this protocol. And I ultimately am building this because it works for me, right? I know how this is beneficial to the ecosystem, and I know everyone else is going to see it, and they are seeing it because they're signing up for what we're doing.
Give me some more information on like what's happening in the Web3 music scene. Like I get, again, a lot of my info from Music Mondays, where we have a group of creators who are in that sector who are getting, you know, people the information. So shout out to Louis, Jared, and Natalie who are doing that on our network. I remember being on there one time and them talking about how Nas was into the ecosystem, but that the amount that somebody had paid to be a part of like Nas's drop got them like a grand total of like $4 in royalties after like a 5 ETH payment or something like that. Like, is this kind of break that down? Like, where are we? Like, I know that's a super general question, but again, it's just not a sector I'm in.
I mean, there is some questions about, like I was saying earlier, streaming royalties are not a huge revenue stream for most artists. And so when you do these large drops with, for example, for Nas and Blau and these big A-list, celebrity musicians, there needs to be a little bit of due diligence being done about, okay, how much are they actually earning from streaming? And when is your break even if you are buying a percentage of the streaming royalties, right? And so I think a lot of this conversation that people are having right now is them not quite understanding how much of that revenue is actually coming through streaming royalties. Because I'm guessing, I haven't dug into this, but I'm guessing that this is not dealing with sync licensing. This is not dealing with mechanical licensing. It's dealing with the royalties coming back from streaming services, which is a very different ballgame. It's not everywhere that your song is being monetized. It's where your song is being monetized on the streaming services, right? And so that's something people should maybe start doing a little bit of research on.
Yeah, I'm going to ask one regulatory question here in just a second, and I'm going to be that guy. But Asmund, I was saying, do you support alternative licenses, e.g. CC BY-SA or some other?
Not at the moment. However, it is something that we are looking into. It's just a matter of dev time, basically. So where are we able to bring the most value to the users on our platform? And it's a very, very small amount of people that are going to be using something like alternative licenses.
Gotcha.
So that's,
okay,
that's down the road. Yeah.
Okay. I dabble in a lot of sectors in Web3 just because of the nature of what I'm doing with the podcast and some of the networks, but I really am in the gaming sector more than all the others. And there's this idea that the financialization of like an NFT or the asset itself, like one, there's a regulatory question beyond that. Like if it's being traded, is it now a commodity? Is it now a stock? Like all these things. Do you have those questions come up when you're talking about music? Like if there's an open marketplace for music and people are profiting on the value of said music, is there that regulatory overview?
Yes and no, right? And so we thankfully don't have to deal with those directly. The places we distribute to have to deal with those issues. So if we're distributing to someone like Royal, we do not distribute to Royal, but if we distribute to someone like Royal, one of the competitors, they get to deal with all the SEC regulation. We don't have to deal with that, right? If we're distributing to a collective, an NFT platform that is going through and saying, okay, well, we have all these NFTs you're potentially going to be making money on, we don't have to deal with that, right? We just have to send the information to them and the metadata to them, and they deal with that. There are regulatory questions here, but what we are doing is very safe, and it's very much sitting in the background, just kind of with our popcorn, trying to figure out what's going to happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, hell of a deal for you. As far as like popcorn right now, it is a bear market. But we do see some like projects popping up. You have been in the space for a while. What other sectors or what other assets are you investing in potentially? Like obviously nothing here is financial advice and all that stuff. Gotta make that disclaimer, but what are you seeing in the broader space that interests you?
Yeah. So in general, I'm not digging super far into individual coins right now. What I'm digging into is supporting artists that I really like. I'm supporting musicians. I'm supporting visual artists that I have a connection with, and I have a connection with their art. So I'm not buying anything at the moment with an expectation of return other than doing my general DCA right into the space. But most of my fun money is going towards, artists, keeping them involved in the space and being like, oh, you see this cool piece, and then display it on my wall or display it in my wallet. So that's kind of what's happening there. Yeah, but no coin suggestions from me.
Okay, this is a personal question here, but what artists would you love to see be in the NFT scene or Web3 scene? We, all the way back in the day on NFT Live, it's since like changed formats and things like this, but we used to have people on to highlight their project. Mike Shinoda had a drop on Hicketnunk, I believe, and it was awesome to talk with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like sitting here with Mike Shinoda, but like, what other musician or artist would you love to see in the space? Yeah.
Oh, that's such an interesting one. I worked with a lot of really fun musicians that were in somewhat restrictive economies. Like I said, I was in China for a while, and moving money in and out of that country is kind of a pain. There's a lot of regulatory stuff that goes around that. So I would love to see some of the musicians that I've worked with out there kind of adopt this a little bit more as a way to monetize their art outside of where they're working. And so some of these closed market economies, being able to kind of give musicians a little bit more freedom. So there are a bunch of musicians up in Shanghai that I have talked to, and I'm trying to sell on getting them into this space. Very experimental, very cool people that I would just love to have around. So we'll see.
Love it. All right, Matt, we've got you here for like one or two more minutes. Definitely drop your link. And as far, you're one of the first guests I've had that doesn't have a Twitter. Tell me a little bit about this. What's up? No Twitter profile from you.
It's just one more thing, like, is there going to be an advantage to my project to having a Twitter? I don't really know about that. I mean, maybe not. But is my time better spent by actually doing work behind the scenes rather than tweeting? I don't know. I have landed on the side of I would rather be working than coming out and spending time on Twitter.
So all these degens doing nothing on Twitter yet.
I mean, yes and no. You know, like I would rather just like not have another social media place that I have to deal with. You know, I have all the other typical things, but I don't need the extra stress in my life. Twitter can be stressful at points.
Yeah, I'm glad that this was the first episode that we actually distributed it to Twitter. So, hey, everybody on Twitter.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Matt will not be joining us there after the episode's over. But anyways, drop your links as far as Unchained Music is concerned, where people can find you, and then we'll let you out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do I do that from here? This is a new interface for me.
If you drop
it. I guess we can find Twitter at Unchained Distro. Yep.
I can drop that in the chat as well, guys. So I'll drop.
Yeah, I don't really know. Please. That'd be great.
Awesome. Okay, it looks like we might be having some lag issues too. But Matt, yeah. I appreciate you coming on the channel here. Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff. Thank you for breaking down the Web3 space as well as what you guys are doing with music distribution. Here, any last thoughts on anything, on life or anything like that, you let me know and then I'll get us out of here.
I mean, basically just thank you so much for having me here. You know, I've found that some of my favorite moments is when it's about time to step away from the computer and just have a little bit of IRL time. So I'm going to do some of that this upcoming week. And I hope each of you kind of build that into your own lives. And so hopefully see you on the other side at a conference or something.
Love to see it. All right. This was Matt Waters, co-founder of Unchained Music. Guys, you tuned into the Nifty Q Show. We're here every Tuesday, Thursday around this time, 2 or 3 p.m. Eastern Standard. Appreciate you tuning in today. I'm sending this out. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. OVOT. Later.